Thank you so much. Brilliant job, Chris. Thank you. Should we give Chris a round of applause for presenting that so well and so helpfully and so clear? I do, as the guy who kind of leads the eldership team, boom, boom. Can you hear that booming? Is that coming down? I just want to, again, just thank Tony and Chris so much for all the work and all the energy that they're pouring into this. And just pray for those guys and the others on the team that are looking at the building. When you hear difficult news, it is very deflating. And we need to pray that their spirits will be lifted and they'd have the energy to keep going with it. And so thank you so, so much. Okay, I want to talk this morning about the hope and the fruit of the gospel. You know, the gospel brings hope. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, brings hope and it brings fruit in our lives. And I'm going to talk about that in the context of where Chris began last week. He sort of started to talk about healthy church and the fact we want to be a healthy church. And he talked about the fact that the reputation of the church has been damaged. And we see this, don't we? If we speak to people in the world, the reputation of the church has been damaged for many reasons. People outside of the church and even some within the church have a view of the church that is of who we stand for and what we stand for that is wrong and that is unhelpful. To many, the bride of Christ has become very disheveled. Chris spoke about that last week, that we, the church, the bride of Christ, has become disheveled. Some people have looked in and seen scandal. Others have just looked in and been bored and sort of decided that the church is irrelevant. But we know, don't we, that that is not true. This is not the way that things are meant to be. When the church is healthy, when the church fulfills God's design, the church is glorious. The church is a light in the darkness. The church is a community of people full of joy. The church is a place of God's presence. The church is a place of life in all fullness. The church is a safe harbor to those in the storm. A healthy church attracts and draws people in, and a healthy church points people to Jesus, who is the source of that life. Amen. That is who the church are. That is who we are to be as the church. And this is what we want for Open Door Church. This is what we want for the churches in this town. This is what we need for the people of this town and the people of this area that we're serving and beyond, that we would be those that represent the good news of Jesus in a way which is attractive and which draws people into life. After all, there is only one church because of Jesus. There is only, he is the hope of the world. He is the foundation of the church. He is the one that brings life and freedom and peace and wholeness. It's him who brings the hope that the church is built on through the hope of the gospel that I'm going to speak about. One of my favorite chapters of scripture in the Bible is Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at quite a few verses from Colossians chapter 1 today. I'm not going to have time to explain them all, but I really believe that the Bible speaks to us by itself. And so we're just going to read some of it and allow it to speak to our hearts. And so we're going to begin to look at the hope of the gospel and then move on to the fruit of the gospel. So we're actually going to do things a little bit backwards. We're going to start at Colossians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 13. It will come up on the screen behind me. But if you have got a Bible, just take a moment to turn to it or find it on your device. And we are going to read this through. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For he has rescued us," that is God has rescued us, "from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves," that's Jesus, "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Okay, we were in darkness, but the hope of the gospel is we've been lifted out of darkness, we've been redeemed, and we've been placed into the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus is King. Amen? Yeah. We serve him. The Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. I've talked about this a couple of times recently. God is big, bigger than our little minds can grasp and understand. And so it's hard for us to fully comprehend, and we can't fully comprehend who God is. But God has made himself visible in the person of Jesus to help us to understand something of the invisible God, because we can grasp something by seeing God in human form, because that helps us to put things in our context. And so the Son is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For him, all things were created. He was there at the beginning. Things in heaven and on earth, things that we see that are visible and things that are invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, those that we see and those that we don't see in the spiritual realm, all things have been created through Jesus
and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In short, Jesus is king of the universe. Jesus is king of all that is outside of the universe that we don't see. He is king over everything, right?
Yep.
And not only is he king of the universe and beyond, he is also the head of the body, the church. So it brings it now into context of the church. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So Jesus is king over everything that we don't see. He's also head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the reason that we are the church. Jesus is our purpose. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Again, that invisible God being made visible, all the fullness of God came and dwelt in the person of Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. So Jesus came to reconcile, to bring back together, to make right all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And how did he do it? He did it by making peace through his blood, which was shed on the cross. You see, the cross is the center of the hope of the gospel. The cross, where Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and for the restoration of the world. That, you know, everything about Jesus is the hope of the gospel, but that was the crux of it right there. When he went to the cross, he chose to lay down his life and to die in our place. And not just the cross, when it speaks about the cross here, I mean, for me, that's the whole Easter package. You know, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is the hope, what brings the hope of the world. And this is getting into some of the fruit, I suppose, but it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. We had walked away from God. Our behavior had gone against everything that God had designed, and we'd become enemies of God in our minds and in our actions. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. No longer are you an enemy of God if you've put your trust in Jesus and his work on the cross. You have been reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There is no guilt and condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the hope of the gospel. There's a lot of hope in that gospel message, isn't there? That is good news. You're all very quiet, but you can get excited about the hope of the gospel. You can get excited about the good news of Jesus and all that he has done for you, all that he has done for the church, all that he has done for this town, all that he has done for this nation, all that he has done for the nations. And you know what? This would be a great time for me to stop talking and for us to go back into sung worship, because that should inspire us to sing and to praise Jesus. You've got a lion inside of you. You've got the Spirit of God inside of you to cry out your soul, to join in with the angels and with everyone else in this place and Christians all around the world declaring who Jesus is. Get up and praise the Lord. But we're not going to do that just now. I'm going to keep going. And actually, there's a moment here for those of you who have never trusted Jesus before. The hope of the gospel is for you today. That message that I've just described is for you today. And how do you receive it? Well, what the Bible says and what God teaches us is that it's a case of recognizing that we were enemies of God and that we've been walking away from him without recognition of who he is and the things that he's put in place in our lives. And we turn and we say sorry for walking that way and all the stuff that involved. And we turn and we say, Jesus, I'm going to walk a different way and I'm going to put you at the center and I'm going to follow you. That's what it means to be a Christian. And even in this moment now, God is calling some of you in this room to turn to him. And you can even do that right now in your heart. You just as I'm talking, you can say, Jesus, I'm turning. I'm turning from walking that way, and I'm going to begin to walk. I may not even know much about who you are, but I've heard enough to know you are the hope of the world. And so I'm going to find out more about you, and I'm going to follow you. And so that is the hope of the gospel. What I want to do now is talk about the fruit of the gospel. The fruit of the gospel. We're going to jump back in the chapter, Colossians chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters. And you're sensing that I love it and I'm passionate about this chapter. And we're going to read from verse 3 this time. And what we're going to see here is some things that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, points out and says these things spring from the hope of the gospel. So we've understood now what the hope of the gospel is. Now, what does that produce? What springs out of that? And Paul writes this. He says, "We always thank God," that's Paul and his team, "we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." The faith and the love that spring from the hope, or that sprung from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. And so two things that spring from the hope of the gospel is faith in Jesus. Another way to describe that, words that we've been using a lot as a church, is discipleship. Putting our faith in Jesus, not just leaving it there, but then living that out and walking a life following Jesus. That is discipleship. Loving and following Jesus in everyday life. That is discipleship. And so one of the fruits of the hope of the gospel is that we walk in discipleship. Okay? And another one of the fruits is love for all God's people. And one of the words we use to describe that as a church is family. We are family as a church. We love one another. We love God and we love one another. That's what we want this church to be every year and this year. I know this is a vision talk in terms of what are we doing this year. Well, this is an every year thing, isn't it? We want to follow Jesus, discipleship, faith in Jesus, and love for all God's people. Let's keep moving. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. This speaks to me about mission and multiplication. That is what the gospel does. It produces, it gives us a mission to multiply, effectively. We have a mission to multiply. That is what the gospel does. When you grasp the gospel and you live it out with faith in Jesus and love for other believers, it multiplies. Other people see it and they catch hold of it and they say, "I want some of that. I need to understand something of Jesus. I want to live this out for myself." And so they become disciples and they become part of the family of God as well. This is what the church is to be. A place of discipleship, a place of family, a place of multiplication and mission. He goes on, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit." More family language there, more love for one another in the Spirit. "And for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." And so that's part of discipleship, that the Spirit comes and fills us as individuals, as a church, that we grow, that we grow in the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. That sounds like the language we've been using of loving and following Jesus in everyday life, doesn't it? That's living a life worthy of the Lord Jesus in every way, in every day. And he goes on, "bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Throughout this chapter, and you won't have grasped it all right now, and I'm not saying that I've grasped it all, I will go and read it again, but go and read it and read it through the lens of family, read it through the lens of discipleship, and read it through the lens of multiplication, and see that this is what God has for us as a church. I just want to pause there and then move us back a few years. I want to bring a prophetic word that this church was given. I want to remind us, some of us this is reminding, and some of us you're hearing, going to hear this for the first time. This was a visiting speaker who came to speak to us at Open Door in 2007. He's a guy called Sam Poe. He's a recognized kind of prophet in the New Frontiers family of churches that we are part of. And he came to us when we were meeting in Ernulf School. And he came to preach, and to be honest, I don't remember what he preached on, but he stood up before he preached and he prophesied, and I remember, and we recorded it because there was a weight to it. And what a prophet does is he or she comes and encourages and builds up churches. And Sampo's only been with us once, and in a sense, I don't I've never met him since, but he's brought something that is a deposit that I believe is of God. And I'm going to read this because I was reading it as I was preparing, reading some over some old prophecies, and I was stirred by God that we are now seeing some of the things that Sam Poe spoke about in 2007. And yes, we saw them even in the years immediately after 2007, but sometimes prophecy takes a while to work out. And I want you to see and be excited by what I'm going to read. This is what he said. He said, "I feel like God is doing something in this church to lead you on in his plans for you. I've heard about many being brought in, invited into life with Jesus." That's discipleship. "I really believe you're coming into a season of fresh moving of the Spirit. I believe there's a wave of growth. There's a wave of enlargement that is coming upon you now, even multiplication. Groups are going to multiply. Perhaps congregations are going to multiply in God's ordered way." There's discipleship in there, and there's multiplication in there. There are things that we have seen some of, and we're beginning to see some more of, and I believe God has more for us in this. But keep listening. "I really believe there's an army. God is raising you up as an army to minister in the power of the Spirit to many. I feel like there is a harvest from many, from different age groups coming. I see many young people being added here." Many young people being added, he spoke. Okay? I want you to hear that in the context of what we've seen over the past 12 to 18 months. There's been an explosion of young people and young adults in this church. That is God fulfilling what he spoke to us through Sam Poe in 2007 and on other occasions as well. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen it on Sundays. We've heard about trips that they've done to different places. We've seen just the change in some of the young people in our families. And we see what God is doing. We see it in the youth cafes that Youth for Christ are involved in. We see it with the group we took to New Day. We had the biggest group going to New Day in the last summer that we've taken in previous years. And we see that God is bringing young people to this church and doing something amazing through young lives. I was in a meeting just... I think it was the week before last, with some of those that are influential and help to lead our young disciples group on a Sunday. We were talking really about what are we doing with that group in the next season, what it's need to look like. And out of that conversation, somebody had shared, "Well, actually, there's about five people I know that would like to do an Alpha course, five more young people that would like to do an Alpha course." I was like, "Okay, let's talk about that." "And they want to start it next week." I'm like, "Okay, great. That's not normally how we plan these things. We normally plan them a bit longer, but they want to do it next week and they want to get going and not lose that momentum." And so this conversation developed and others started chipping in. "Well, I could invite so-and-so." And before the end of the meeting, we had a list of about 20 names of people that could be invited to start to do an Alpha next week. Okay, now, not all of those people say yes. Authentic. We're not saying we've got an Alpha course of 20 people. We've got a load of people to be invited, and some of those have already said yes, and some others will say yes to do Alpha amongst that group. And they're just getting on and doing it. They're leading it. They're doing it in one of their homes, and they're just kind of going to run with it, okay? And God is doing something amazing. Back to the prophecy. Sam Poe said this room is too small. This room is fine for today, bearing in mind we were in Ernulf at the time, but it's going to be too small. You need bigger buildings. You need, actually, one of the outcomes of this was we moved to the Priory Centre off the back of this prophetic word. But actually, you know, we've become aware again that the buildings we now currently have are too small. Therefore, we are going for a bigger building and a warehouse. God is at work. There's enlargement that God is bringing. He's wanting to multiply. And so it's going to take everyone here in this room. Okay, so you need to hear this. This is not something that the church leaders are going to do. This is going to take everyone here in this room, hearing God. This is discipleship, okay? Hearing God, reaching out, ministering to people who are still in darkness, people who still can't hear, to those blind people who need healing, who need eyesight. Maybe they're not literally blind, but they're spiritually blind. They cannot see, and God can do a miracle in them. He can open their eyes. God wants to continue to open people's eyes and add them into his church. And it needs everyone in this room to live as disciples to live this out. And so this is something to pray into. I think this is something we haven't seen as much of yet. And I believe, as I've been encouraged by these other things, this is one to pray for even in our prayer week coming up. He can literally open blind eyes. I do believe that you're going to see an increase in God's it's God's plan to see an increase of the supernatural. I believe there's going to be signs and wonders happening. I think it's started, but it's going to increase. It's going to increase. I believe God's going to release this more and more into the body. It's going to be happening not only within these walls like this, but it's going to be happening out there in the workplace, out there in the school, out there in the neighborhood. There's going to be healing. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be those who will be radically touched by the Spirit of God. Let's log that one as one we haven't yet seen. We've seen glimpses of, but there's more. If you measure what we've seen in terms of the young people and how that's exploded, I could say, we're seeing that now. And there's something else in a minute that's coming that we're seeing that now. This is one we're not seeing as much of, and we need to pray into, because if we believe that God said it through Sam Poe. And I just feel that God's going to begin to send real days of growth to you in fresh ways. It's going to reach out and touch other nations. You're going to touch other nations right out of this, right here, out of this family, right out of this church, more and more. I'm thankful for what's beginning to happen in your connection with Zimbabwe. I believe there's more to this than meets the eye. And there's other things that God is going to do. Some of you here this morning, 2007, are going to find yourselves being stirred by God about a particular nation. God may be preparing some of you to go and serve in another place, even right out of this congregation this morning. I was thinking about that, just not necessarily out of that particular day, but out of where we are right now. We've just sent Robin to New Zealand. We've got Sydney and Danny, some of you might know, who are going to be moving over to Spain shortly. I've had other conversations with other people in the last 2 weeks who are thinking about other nations as places to go and to serve God. And then this bit, others, you're going to serve right here and you're going to reach other nations that live right across the street from you. Bearing in mind when this word came, lots of the new houses around the town were just getting going, but you know, not what we see now. And to be honest, St. Neots was white middle class, okay? Now the town has changed since 2007, but listen to this. I believe that this church is going to become increasingly multicultural, increasingly multicultural. People from different places, different lands, different colors of skin, different languages as part of this fellowship. We have seen an explosion of multicultural family as a church over the last 12 to 18 months or a bit longer. And it's been absolutely brilliant. Yesterday, I got to go to my first Nigerian birthday party, which was held at the church office. And I can tell you, it was so full of joy and color and life. I was thinking, how can I describe this to people that weren't there? And I thought the best way I can describe it was a little bit like a baby Thanksgiving for 40-year-olds. Okay? Now, when we have a baby Thanksgiving, people come, they bring their friends, and we have fun, and we tell testimonies, and there's life, and people worship hard, and it's just great fun. Well, that's what happened yesterday to celebrate Tyrone Kenny's 40th birthday, and we celebrated with them. And the church is becoming more multicultural. This is being fulfilled. So he finished by saying, come, Holy Spirit, prepare us for what you're doing. Greater things. You're always leading us on, Lord. You're always leading us on. You're always leading your flock into something amazing. And I believe you're doing this right here, right in this town, in this church today. Do you hear that through the lens of what we're seeing right now and get excited? Okay, this is the power of the prophetic. This is the power of what God is doing, what we can see with our own eyes, what we can see in the Spirit coming together. Young people, multicultural, signs and wonders. We want to see more of that. And just life with Jesus. So the last bit I want to talk about is just very practically. Well, what are we going to do? Now, there's going to be lots of things that we can do. And they're going to be unpacked over this year and over the coming years. This isn't just a one-year thing, in a sense. But there are some things that I want to just highlight as we go into this year that we are going to lead into centrally as a team and as a church, and then other things I just want to encourage you to do as individuals that are part of this church. And so I want to talk about those three areas: family, discipleship, and multiplication, just quickly. And so in the area of family, some of the things that I want to encourage us to think about is family time. Family time, time together with people in the family. That this would be true even if you've been part of this church over many years. When the pandemic hit and we had time away from one another, we needed to get time together again to reconnect. And still, I feel like we're in that season for some people that have been part of this church for many years. There's others of you that are new to the church who you're becoming part of the family. You need to get time with other people just to feel like you found your place and you're knitting and you found your people. And so family time over food is a great way to have family time, isn't it? So centrally, you'll have noticed we've been increasing things like bring and share lunches that we're doing together. We're going to have an Easter meal together in a couple of months. In the summer, we'll have our picnics, in the park that we sometimes have. Those are not just times to say, oh, we've got a week off. Or, those are significant times to be part of because we're family together and we're spending time together. But of course, this isn't something you don't need us to centrally plan a meal for everyone. This is just invite people into your home and eat together. Get time with one another. Just get to know people and spend time together. And of course, what we're really looking for, I'm going to talk about discipleship in a minute, but family time, which is also discipleship time, as in those times that you're together, eating together and doing life together, that you're talking about Jesus and the impact that he's having in your life, and you're praying together and you're encouraging one another in the good times and in the challenges. So family time over food. Family time away together and with our wider family, within Catalyst and within New Frontiers. Things that I want to speak about there. Project 24, I've already plugged this hard with our students and 20s. This is a Catalyst event coming up in about a month's time where there is a big gathering of students and 20s just to worship and get some teaching and to be commissioned to all that God is calling them to be. And so if you're 18 to 30, students, 20s, that kind of age. That is for you. If you don't know about it, come and speak to me and I'll fill you in. But also New Day in the summer. We'll be doing New Day again this year, something that we can be involved in with our young people. We're always looking for people to come and help set up tents or be on team and all kinds of stuff. So it's not just exclusively to that age group. But also we've got the Catalyst Festival coming back this year, August bank holiday. The Catalyst Festival is happening. We still haven't worked out quite how do we deal with the challenges of going away to New Day and then coming back and going away straight away. But if there are people who are excited about the Catalyst Festival and say, yeah, we can really help to focus on that and make that a great family time together, we would love to hear from you. So please do come and speak to us about that. Also, family time in small groups. It's key to be part of a small group. It's going to be more key than ever this year because, as we've already spoken about, at the end of July, we can't book this hall. We can't book the Priory Centre anymore because they're going to be closing it for at least 6 months for redevelopment. So whether we've got another building to go to or not in terms of a building we're buying, we won't be in there with it all redeveloped and everything by then. So there's going to be, we're going to have to find a way to continue to meet together. And we're working on that. And plan A is that we'll have somewhere else we can go where we can all meet together on a Sunday. But that might not be all of us all together right from the start or whatever. You need to be part of a small group so that you can continue in those relationships. So get connected into small groups. Be in one. It's where family relationships grow best. So family time, I want to talk about family values just quickly. So when you've got a whole load of people coming together, new people, some people from all kinds of different cultural backgrounds, it's great. It brings great joy and great diversity. But also we all want to be on the same page. And so we want to really relay our foundations, our values, our family values, if you like. And so we're looking for ways to do that this year. We've got a preaching series where we're going to be preaching again some of the values that we hold dear as a church. We're even looking at a small group, not in this February season, but at some point later in the year, where we can just relay some of those foundations for people that want to get those for themselves. And then, of course, so family time, family values, and family home. Already lots has been said on that. Our hope is that we will have a family home to move into this year. It's not a foregone conclusion. But the point is that whatever happens, whether this building comes through or not, it's a journey that we're on together as a family. And so we will grow together as family as we pray and as we step out in faith and as we give and as we sacrifice and as we rejoice in the breakthroughs that we get and as we comfort one another when we hit disappointments. So whether we get a building or not, it draws us together as a family to go after a family home. So there's some things on family. In terms of discipleship, I've already talked about groups. Again, groups is crucial. Small groups are crucial. But it's more than small groups. You can run in discipleship with people without being in a group with them. I think the key thing I want to say on this is be clear who you are running the race with. Jesus ran his race with a group of 12. He obviously had bigger groups that he spent time with, and the 72 that he sent out and the 5,000 that he fed. There were times he was in bigger gatherings, but the majority or lots of what we see in the Gospels is Jesus running the race with 12 people. And within that as well, there was a group of 3 that he was particularly close with. And so my question to us all this year is, are you clear who you are running the race of discipleship with? Are you clear who your 12 are? Are you clear who your 3 are? You know, who are the people? The kind of questions that Chris helpfully gave us last week that were around kind of how do we really reveal our vulnerabilities and to a deep level with other people? Where, how do we stand together in prayer for one another where things are really challenging? Stuff that you don't even feel able to share with a whole small group. Who are your 3? Where's your 12? Where's your 3? That's the big question. I could talk lots about groups and so on, but I want to encourage you, be clear who you are running with. Be intentional. Be clear how you are running. Be clear about the kinds of questions that you need to ask or that are helpful to ask one another to really grow in that kind of discipleship. And we can give you those questions and we can give you resources to help you with that. And then in terms of multiplication, in terms of mission, some things that I want to mention. Surprise, surprise, I want to talk about groups again. Groups are huge for us this year. We have a small group sign-up Sunday coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And I can tell you right now, if I was to put up the list of small groups that we've got, there will be people in this room that say, there is not a group for me. Be encouraged. I can tell you now, there are not enough groups for the number of people that are going to want groups. Okay? And so what that means is we need some other people to say, do you know what? I think I could lead a group. Do you know what? I think I could gather a few people and we could look at the Bible together and encourage one another. We need some people that maybe have done that before to say, do you know, I did it before and I got a bit burnt out, but do you know, I could go again. I feel like I could go again for another season. And I want to say a couple of things on that. Groups don't have to be big. You don't have to think, okay, that means it's going to be a group of 12 or 15 people in my home and I don't know how to fit them all in and all that. You can have a group of 4 or 5 people actually and do a great job of small group life together. In fact, that's the best way that small groups start, small, because then they've got capacity to grow. You don't have to have been here for 5 years to be able to lead a group. You might have, you know, we're not just going to, in one sense, we're not just going to say, anyone go lead a group. We do want to check that we believe that the people leading groups have got a sense of our family values and who we are and so on. But there are people coming into us from other churches and other places where we would be confident to say to you, yeah, go for it, run with this. And so maybe you've led a small group before. Maybe you're in a small group that's already full and you've benefited for some time now from people that have done a great job of leading your small group. And actually, you've seen what it can look like. And now the Lord is prompting you, go and do it yourself and replicate what you've seen. And on one hand, we like the idea of being in the group that we're in and it can be encouraging, supportive and comfortable. But actually sometimes the way that growth comes and multiplication comes is that God moves people out and says, just go and replicate it in your own way. So we need more groups. We need more leaders. And I am praying, that's my biggest prayer at the moment. God, would you give us people who will lead groups for us? And so I'm hoping that when we come to put groups up in a couple of weeks' time. In fact, my expectation, if I'm honest, is not that we will have all the groups we need in 2 weeks' time, but I think we will be, you know, this time around, we're going to need to open groups over a period of time. And so what I'm saying is, come and have conversations with us if you feel you could do that and help us as a church. Also, multiplication of generosity and resources. We've talked about the pledge day and the gift day that we're going to have for the building. You know what? Generosity and giving is part of discipleship. And just as the way we say, I want to grow in my Bible reading this year, I want to grow in my prayer life this year, I want to encourage us as well to say, I want to grow in my sacrifice this year. I want to grow in my giving this year. And to see that as part of discipleship, that is what it is to be a follower of Jesus, is to grow in those areas. And ultimately, what we want to see is growth and multiplication of disciples. The whole point we want to build in, the whole point that we want more groups, is not just to support what we've already, that the believers that we've already got in the church, but to see disciples being added in and multiplied. One of the things I'm doing at the moment, which is one of the most exciting parts of my week, is I'm meeting up with a guy who's never been to church and who we've come into contact with, made contact with the church, and I've been meeting up with him for a few months now, most weeks, and we've been kind of opening the Bible together and doing a Bible discovery together or having great conversations. And he's not a Christian yet, and he's not feeling comfortable to walk in the doors of the church yet, but it is my most exciting part of the week. And that is the goal, isn't it? To see people added into the church and for the church to grow and to develop and multiply. I don't want you to hear, some of you, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying there. I don't want you to hear me say that is more exciting than spending time with people in this room, because I love spending time with people in the church as well. But it is exciting for me when I get to sit down with someone. And do you know what, actually? He has read the whole of the book of John in the last couple of months, and he's now making his way through Luke. And so that's a provocation and a challenge to us who are believers who maybe aren't picking our Bibles up. Because the Word of God speaks life, and he's seen something of that life, and he wants to see more. And so I'm going to bring this to a close, and I'm going to, in a minute, we're going to pray, and then we're going to come back and worship again. We're going to get our kids at some point during that, and they can come back in, and they can join in with worship if we're still going. But what I'm asking us, really, as a church today, is will you, I'm asking this as individuals, and I'm asking this for us as a church, because kind of the church is made up of individuals, right? So it's the same thing, really. But will we commit to Jesus this year and loving and following Jesus in everyday life, in our discipleship? Will we commit to one another this year, to being family together, to getting time together, to building relationships with people, to drawing new people in? Will we commit to looking for opportunities to multiply groups, multiply generosity, multiply disciples? Because that is what we are called to do. And it won't be easy. And it will be sacrificial. And it'll be hard work. And there'll be times where we just feel, I can't do anymore. But you know, that is what we're called to. And God gives us everything that we need to do the things that he's calling us to. And sometimes we're burnt out because we're doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, and we need to say no to it, whether it's in the church or outside the church. But when God is calling us to these things, and individual ones of us will be prompted to respond in different ways, as we step into those things, God will give us everything that we need, and it will be a great adventure for us. So if you're able to, will you stand with me? And I want to pray, Father God, I thank you so much for the things that we're seeing in the church. I want to thank you so much for that prophetic word that you gave us through Sam Poe in 2007. And the fact that we are seeing now, in a greater measure than we've seen before, the fulfillment of the things that he spoke about in terms of multicultural church, in terms of many young people being added. We do pray, would you add in that kind of supernatural works in the church and in the workplace and in the schools and in the neighborhoods, those places that we're going out to. Father, we say we know there's more. You have more for us. And we say we want to commit ourselves to you. We want to commit ourselves, Jesus, to loving and following you in true, genuine discipleship this year. We say we want to commit ourselves to one another. Our faith in Jesus would be known amongst the town, and would be known amongst people that are looking in. They would say, what is this faith in Jesus and love for one another that we see? I want a part of that. And we pray, would you help us to multiply? We know that multiplication comes from you, whether it's in terms of resources or in terms of groups or people or money or whatever it might be. And so we say, Lord Jesus, would you bring growth in this church in many different ways? And we do pray also, we pray for a growth of disciples in this church, new people who don't yet know you, Lord Jesus, coming to know you and being added in, and themselves then going on a journey of discipleship with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the adventure and the joy of being part of your church. We thank you that the church is part of the hope of the world. We thank you that we are not a disheveled bride full of scandal and boring and irrelevant. That is not who we're called to be. We see who you're calling us to be, and we say, Lord Jesus, that is what we're going to go after with you. Come, Holy Spirit, would you help us? We can't do this in our own strength. We say, come and help us, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen.